Hello there and welcome to Off the Canvas podcast with me, Nick Hobbs. To coincide with World Mental Health Day, we're going to be speaking to some well-known names within boxing to candidly discuss their personal experiences with mental health. Today, our guest is a light heavyweight prospect from East End of London who's experienced an awful lot in his career and has only had 7 professional fights. Our guest today is Charlie Duffield. How are you doing at the moment, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah, doing really well yourself.
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, mate. Is this when boxing's good, the kind of situation you're in at the moment? You've got a couple of wins under your belt. You've got a big fight coming up on a televised show. Is this when boxing's treating you nicely?
It is indeed, yeah. Sometimes you need that little bit of break in life. Everyone needs it, no matter how good or bad you are. But, all the boxers need their little break. And hopefully this is my little break. And start climbing the ladder and showing people what I'm about, really.
There are sort of two halves of your career already, aren't there, Charlie? There's before your defeat in June 2016 and after June 2016. Can you kind of tell us and paint a picture of where you were in your career going into that fight a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I was training with Mark Sibnack. I wasn't with Mark Sibnack. I was training with someone else. And I was still training hard, but not. I didn't take boxing serious, if you know what I mean. I knew I was strong and I knew I could fight and stuff like that. So I sort of, in my mind, it was like far in the park sort of thing, but I didn't take it serious. I took it as a hobby instead of a career. But and then up into the defeat, I was going through a lot of family problems, and I was battling a lot of things to do with mental health, with my brother and stuff like that. So I just wasn't in the right frame of mind. Now I take boxing serious. It's a career to me. I want to go to the top. I believe I'm going to the top with Mark and things. Now I look at boxing in a different way. You know what I mean?
Not to to wallow in what was going on with your brother a couple of years ago, but can you kind of shed a bit of light into what was going on in your personal life and what was happening with him as well, please?
Yeah, basically, my brother was battling mental health. He was trying to get help from him. He was battling before us. I was there with him, helping him. I was close to my brother. I grew up with him, so I was really close. He was battling before us, and he had a drink addiction that led, basically, I believe, the mental health, that was important, trying to get help, to stop being, you know, to react, in general, trying to get help, and I believe they didn't give him that support he needed, and that's what led to him taking his life, basically. Obviously, I was there, staying there, helping. Trying my best, but I think he needed more support from the mental health side of it.
Yeah.
Trying to get him out of a dark hole, but unfortunately he didn't, and he ended up taking his life, which was a big thing for me, because I was really close to my brother. It was like a shock, because I personally, to tell the truth, I didn't believe he would do something like that.
Yeah.
I always thought it was a threat. Like, he threat a few times, but he took over those tablets and stuff, like, abused them. And I believe, these days my brother and I love him to bits, I believe it was I thought it was a cry for help, but really, it probably wasn't a cry for help. Maybe it was, he did want to do it, he did in the end, but at that time, when he was taking the tablets and stuff like that, back in hospital, it was bad, and we were rushing down there and stuff like that, but he didn't take it, like, at the end he didn't take enough, and he didn't finish the suicide, but in the long run, that was a good trying to get help from the mental health and stuff, didn't get the support he needed, and he ended up taking his life, so.
Charlie, did you find it quite hard when you were speaking with your brother, and when you were trying to help him? sort of trying to relate to what he was going through, because I suppose it's one of those things that if you're not in it yourself, it's going to be really hard to understand what that person's thinking and feeling, right?
Yeah, well, basically, I haven't really told many people about my sort of past and stuff. I sort of knew where it was coming from. The reason why I'll say that I'll tell you, I had a bad gambling addiction myself from the age of about 16, 17, up until probably about 22, which not many people know, apart from my close family. I was battling a really bad gambling addiction. I nearly lost my family, like my mid-years and stuff. Up until I was about 22, I was bad. That's sort of come. I got with who I'm with now, my wife, Carly. I sort of come away from it. It's like I've drifted away, but I was always in it, if you know what I mean. I was never clean. And I was back and forth. And even now, I've not gambled now for a good year and a few months. But I'm clean now. I've been doing well. Thanks to my wife, she's helped me and my family supported me. Without them, I would probably want them. And I've thought about doing things myself. I sort of knew where my brother was. I knew where he was coming from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I could give him that guideline, because I thought of doing silly things myself. And the only reason what stopped me was my little daughter, my wife, and I had a strong family helping me, so it gave me that little bit of kick up the arse to sort of think to myself, what am I doing? I'm better than this and stuff like that. So as much as I'll probably be battling an addiction for the rest of my life, I'm clear from the addiction now. I've gambled, I feel good, I feel brilliant in myself, but the addiction's there, like my brother, he had a bad drinking addiction, so it's always going to be there, like, if you can control it or stop and stuff like that, but in the back of your head, it's always going to be, oh, I end up if I drink or if I go gamble. I always think that no matter how, once you've got the addiction, it's there for the rest of your life, just as long as you can control it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing, and that's what I have done. So I sort of give my brother a good guidance, and I sat there and had heart to heart, which was hard. I didn't know. In my head, really, even though I was close to my brother, I thought I didn't actually know how bad he was. I was trying to give him the guidance, and I said, at the time when he was really bad, I was about to have a baby, my little daughter, so I was saying, look, you're going to be an uncle, just turn your life around, let's get you at that. So the reason why he went down a bad path, he was with someone for about 13 years and they split up. And they just sent him down the wrong road. And it got worse and worse and worse. And I said, you can have all this, what I've got. But I'm married. I've got a beautiful wife. I'm gonna have a baby. You're going to be the uncle. You can have a family. Why don't you turn your life? And I sat there and had heart to heart for hours and hours. But sometimes, when someone's in that frame of mind, it just ain't enough. And I know he loves me, and everything I told him, I could tell you it's something, but it's just like, it was like, yeah, I'm going to stop for us. And then the next day, it's like demons went in his head, oh, he needs a drink, right? And then he picked up the drink. And it was just like a vicious circle. And it was hard to see him go down that road. It broke my heart. Out of all my family, I was probably close to my mum and stuff, but he'd grown up from the age of 14 to about 19. I was always with him. He's my older brother, 4 years older than me. So I was always out with the older brother. So really close. And we've done everything together. So I've got some good memories at the back of my mind that I'll cherish for the rest of my life. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough. All the trying to give him the right path, but it wasn't enough.
Is what your brother went through, Charlie, a very painful reminder to you, I suppose, and how fragile we can all be? And, you know, a guy like your brother who you were so close to, and as you were saying, you were trying to explain to him, you could have all this, you could have all these things, but when you're in that state of mind, it must feel so hard. It must feel just be desperate. Why else would you do it, right?
Indeed. Yeah. Basically, yeah. You can't. It's so hard because as much as for me, I went through my gambling addiction, and as much as anyone loves me, telling me what you're doing, you're spending all your wages, every penny you earn, you work hard. Everything you earn, you're spending. Why are you doing this stuff and stuff like that? And then you get yourself in debt because you're gambling and you don't actually realise how bad of a hole you're in. Until you're in the hole, and then you're like, wow, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out? I've been 20 grand, 30 grand worth of debt. How am I going to get out of this? And then the only thing that enters your back of your mind is the bad thought with my brother, what happened to my brother. The only thing that kept me on a straight and narrow was my wife, Carly, that was strong. And she helped me. And, like, without her, I don't know where I would be, but without her, my little beautiful daughter, so it held me together. But some people it does, and some people it don't. But obviously, unfortunately for my brother, as much as he loved his family and stuff like that, it didn't help as much as we told him the right path to the wrong. So it was a sad thing for the family, and my mum, for all of us, it was hard, but my mum, she's still a broken woman now. This is 2 years, coming up 2 years to Christmas, and it feels like the last month. It feels surreal, it still don't feel real to me. It feels like I'm going to pick up the phone to my brother.
Yeah.
You know, he's to ring me, and it's so hard to explain, but it's just one of those things that sometimes with addiction, you can get over it, you can beat it. Like I have, I feel the top of the world now. I've not been able for over a year and a couple of months. And my wife, my baby, the boxing, she's kept me, keeps me strong, keeps me focused.
Yeah.
Mentally, physically, all I think about is train. I want to do well. So I'm in a different frame of mind now, but some people don't get over that hurdle. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who don't get the right help, and it leads to the bad things.
Yeah. It's interesting what you were saying about talking to your wife and how much she helped you, because that, excuse me, that's been a reoccurring theme in this podcast series we've done, is that people have talked about when they've been having a really bad spell, how just having that one person close to you to talk to, you know, they haven't got to be particularly trained, or they don't, you know, really understand what you're going through, but just to have that ear and have someone to speak to about it openly really helped a lot of people. And Charlie, it sounds like it's helped you quite a lot as well.
It has massively helped me. Without my wife, like I say, I really don't know where I'd be. She's been my rock. She's kept me strong. Okay. My boxing, like I said before, my boxing, I was taking it as a hobby. I was enjoying it. It was like a hobby to me.
Yeah.
Now it's a career.
Yeah.
It's somewhere I want to be. I want to climb to the top, and I believe I will climb to the top. So it's a career to me now. And she was the one who got me back. Charlie, you need to put your life on. You've got us. Because she knows how much boxing means to me. So if I give up tomorrow, in the back of my head, 2 years, 3 years, might be 5 years down the line, I'm just thinking, where could I have got to?
Mm.
I never tested where I could have got to. But she's the one who's kept me closer. Yeah, she's been, without my wife, she's been my rock.
Yeah.
I'm not just funny, there's a lot of women. The gambling addiction I was going through, and what I was doing, a lot of women would probably walk away. As much as they do love the other, probably still would walk away and say that I can't do this anymore. But she stuck by me. It's a thing. And she's made me strong, and she's made me this person I am today. I'll ride the hat and take it off to her. She's done me the world good.
Mm.
And through the hard times with my brother, I struggle. It was a big struggle. It's still a struggle now. You never get over it. You just learn to try and live with it. I think of the good things, like, always, if I'm having a bad day with my brother, I think of the good stuff. The stuff that I there that no one else has. So that will get the first bit strong.
What do you reckon? It might be a bit of a tricky question, this one, Charlie, but what do you think, if you can try and narrow it down, what do you think you've learnt about yourself through the things that you've been through and also from what happened with your brother?
You learn...
such a sad thing to have happened, Charlie. That could be his sort of legacy, couldn't it, I suppose, if it's resulted in you really focusing on boxing and going on to achieve what he always wanted you to.
Indeed, yeah. I think such a sad, negative thing that happened. I flip it and turn it into a massive positive. And for me to achieve that, I know he'll be looking down on me, like he does every fight. And I've also got my uncle Jimmy up there, which I've got on my shelf, and my name myself. He's followed me for all my my amateur fights. He follows everyone who's come watch my training. He was like my second dad. He's my dad's brother, but he was like my second dad. He was always there. And I've got him on my shelf, Uncle Jimmy. And he always wanted to see me turn pro and stuff like that. And he did. I lost him to cancer, but he'll be up there looking down at me saying, wow, like Charlie's real old. Like, I know it means a big thing for them. They'll both be up there thinking, damn boy, let's push on, get to the top. They all believe in me, so yeah, I believe in myself. My trainer, Mark Gibbs, he's done leaps and bounds. Like I said, I couldn't thank him enough for how much he's done for me. Made me a stronger person, as well as my family and my wife and stuff. So, yeah, it's good now that I'm in just such a positive environment. I feel top of the world. I feel like it's a new beginning, basically. Sort of thing.
Charlie, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, and we'll all be looking out for you, mate. October 27th, your next out, and wish you the very best of luck.
Thanks a lot, Nick, and thanks for having me on the podcast. It really means a lot. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
What an amazing and heartbreaking story there from Charlie, who's done so well to get to the point he is now. And we couldn't be happier to have him on the podcast. Now, if you are feeling down or you've hit a wall for any reason and need to talk or find information and support, please visit www.thecalmzone.net or you can call 0800 58 58 58. Calls from the UK are free from landlines, payphones and all mobiles. And thanks again for listening to Off the Canvas.